This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, no problems. Aval Ika Bolahudia or...
We're somewhere around Venire, Kidafi Midrash Chachamim, somewhere around there.
I think so.
Small.
Yes, it is. Okay.
We did.
No, but the mitzvahs, as mitzvahs, also say we did or not. I don't remember already.
No, that we didn't. We did in Pagaboy. Yes, Mefarshim ki Adam Mechuy b'mitzvahs. I think we got up to that. Parents said right.
Okay, so I think that that's fair.
Okay.
Okay. Just one thing here. Try one more thing here. Just things get more and more complicated as you go along, and less user friendly. Okay, whatever it is, it's good. Okay, so he's saying over here, Venera. So he's speaking about the two Yetzaharas, and he says there's Yetzirah of Arayis and Zinus. Now we saw V'yesh Mefarshim. I think we're all in V'yesh Mefarshim. That's the point we're holding. So he says V'yesh Mefarshim that Ki Adam Mechuyah B'mitzas Esei Mitzas Lo Yisasei U'mitzas Esei Tzorech Adam Lazaris Atzmoi V'lifol HaMitzvah. So, really, in a certain sense, I mean, for us, we tend to see all of the different averis as one, and therefore it's sort of okay, doing mitzvahs essays and not doing mitzvahs losas says, those are all one and the same, and Yetzirah just opposes both, and that's it. That's sort of the way, that's the way we get it. But the truth be said is that it's something else. It's a different nature in the person that creates the issues with the mitzvahs essays and mitzvahs losas says. And again, whether I assume that he's speaking more about Yetzirah that's kind of innate to a person. The Yetzirah of not doing essays is the quality of Chaimer wanting to be in its place. There's sort of the inertia of a person. And that's why the Mesil Sesharim, when he speaks about the Midah to promote keeping essays, he speaks about Zrizus. In other words, it's the opposite of inertia. So the Yetzirah in the person is the quality of Evan, which is just to remain where it is. And that's why it says it's Nimoach ke Evan, when something begins to melt, and rock at a very, very, very high temperature melts, the lava, so that's when it becomes a something which is very, very... It becomes fluid, and it begins to become something active. So you have
You don't think you can mean by nimuach, like if you pour water on it, then it melts it away slowly.
That's also true. It also dissolves it. You can do it correct. Except that, I guess, the Gemara, the Pasuk is, Aloi koi dvorei ke'esh num Hashem, ukefati shifot tzelah. So my feeling would be that it's talking about it as a quality of esh. That's also, I think in the pasuk it fits more, but it's not wrong what you're saying. It says, so it has something which prompts a person. And let's compare it to that. When we ask ourselves, what can make a person move? So if you keep impressing on a person, if a person learns Torah, where the message is constantly, you're obligated to do, you have to do it, you know, it's a responsibility and so on, that tends to become that tends to move a person. So it has in itself the power to get a person going. The koach of hislahavus, the koach of getting a person worked up, passionate about something, is a koach that prompts a person to action. So there's a koach hashchos in a person, where a person is doing things that are destructive, they're bad, and that's the tzad barzel. So Torah is about the both. Kikoach etzahore in a shoylet rak b'mash adam bal chisorin. Because mischa be'adam al Torah misalik meitayach chisorin. So these are two loose ends of a person in his chisornos. The person is not a naturally driven person. So the Moshe Malachim are described as not having a body. Malachim agibore koach ose dvaro. It says Malachim don't have ifui. They don't get tired. In other words, since a malach does not have chomer, so he therefore doesn't lack. He's a bundle of energy, so to speak, and he's instantly ready to do what should be done. So a person doesn't have that, since he has a body as chisaron, so Torah gets rid of that chisaron. On the other hand, we have also a tarevis of a soshavi, so we have other desires within us that are negative, and that's something that is also bad in us, which Torah takes out. Avol. So that's a pirush, it's not his pirush. Ika pirush, ki ba leidea malas a Torah, shadea Torah misulik min adam eitzara shu pchis adam, vikasha misulik min adam a pchisus azeh shu yitzara, oz nishar madregas malach legamri, kasha misulik yitzara, ukilo hoya adam kula sichli. So he says I think what he means to differ is that it's not a direct assault on the elements that are the ra in the person, but rather it's giving the person a darga that is malach, that is kulis sichli, and b'meila he doesn't have that. Let's describe this a little bit and understand the point that he's driving at. Let's take an example. A woman. When a woman becomes a mother, almost always she is busy all the time, constantly. And even if she was kind of lazy when she was single, but as a mother, she's all abuzz. She's always, always busy, fretting, doing, worrying, caring, pashkining. It's something that happened within the person's metzias that changed the person who they are. So whereas one of the reasons, and let's think into it a little bit. One of the reasons why we tend to be less than active is because it's not physically that we have to pick up our goof and move it around, but rather emotionally, I don't want to be bothered all the time. I don't know, I remember picking up the English expression, I can't be bothered. My sense of self is shaken when everybody can say, hey boy, go and bring this. Hey man, bring this, that, the other thing. Well, I'm not a servant, I'm myself. And anytime somebody imposes on me to do something, then I've lost my sense of self. If a person sees himself as an Eved Hashem, for instance, let's take an example. A soldier usually does not have that problem because he might get shot if he doesn't move really quick. But more than that, he sees himself as being all action. That's his mitzvah. A mother, we mentioned, sees herself being all action. An entrepreneur type person who's trying to build a business, his nature is that he's all over the place all the time, and he sort of relishes it because then he feels really accomplished. You know, I didn't sit back. I went to him and I spoke to him and I got this organized and I tried this avenue. And the person dehairs himself in the busybodiedness of it. So Kolzman, we don't have the real sense of who we are and what we are. So this becomes a question of us, and we're not sichli, we're people. We have a life, and being on call and being in motion is something that's imposing on it. It's ke'ilu. I don't have a life. I'm like a servant of sorts. So not having the shleimus of being a sichli, the same thing is true on the other side. There's a fine understanding of what exactly is the person's what's the right word for it? Mitzias. When we talk about taivus, so it's interesting. If someone were to ask me, would I want a piece of chocolate cake now, whatever it is, something that I really enjoy? So my answer would be yes. Why? That's a taiva. I have it. I could be in a position to really enjoy it, and I wish to enjoy it, and you know that's what I do. But if someone were to come to me and ask me, do you regret a year ago not having eaten cake, I usually regret that I did eat it. At the very early regard, I didn't eat it. But if you take a look at some other things, it's not like that. If somebody were to look back and say, you know, I never had a chance to go on a vacation. Everyone has these beautiful, stunning pictures of these wonderful vacations they had. I don't have it. Well, let's say both of you right now are not on vacation. So what's the difference what you had a year ago, 5 years ago, and 10 years ago? The answer is, there's a sense of the me. I wasn't fulfilled. I didn't have, you know, everyone else had fun. I didn't. So that I didn't have fun translates that I have not fulfilled my potential. I didn't get from this world what I could have gotten. It also has that type of tfisa. When a person becomes a sichli, when a person learns, those things are irrelevant to him. It's not what he has in terms of the things of being Mimalis Titus. So by transforming the person and making him into a different type of person, these two things fall off. So he says in other words, it's the minuval part of me, the part of me that dehairs myself, the part of me that wants a taiva now. It's not a minuval, that's the kareha taiva person. But the minuval is the person who is accumulated. The word nivul in it's not minuvah with a base, it's two vavs. It's something that is filthy. You know, the person who has that, the Yetzer is the part of the person that wants to see him as a chumri, as a pachis. So if a person has Torah, the person is shalom. This is me. I'm me, and the learning is one, and therefore all the other things don't have a drisus regel. So we're not addressing the taiva that will be. We're talking about the sense of having, you know, of possessing and so on. V'amayim evin huni moyach v'im barzul mispolseitz.
Ki ba'odam yeshech... Yes. Just a question. This is the side of the Yetzer, which is like the... what's the chumris, right?
Right.
There is another side, Rabbi Yisrael says, somebody calls it a ruach atuma. Will we deal with that later on?
I'm not sure.
He has two separate studies.
Right. He has the tzad mitzad, the person I think mentioned last time, and mitzad something which is like a malach or whatever. I don't think he seems to be going with that with it in terms of an outside force, unless I guess whichever way it is, you can only gain a foothold. A person can only vanquish you if there's a chink in your armor. You know, if the Yetzer comes to me and says, you know, you haven't played even one golf game in your life. I personally have no interest in it. It's just not, doesn't talk to me. So it's not, I don't feel I'm missing it. I don't like it. I wouldn't care for it. And it means nothing. So there's no makom for me to be nifka by it. But if somebody else who does have that sense, he has it in him. So this is where Yetzer gets in, and he says, you know, they've cheated you of this, they robbed you of this, and so on and so forth. So there is a type of, it requires a chisorin within the person, even if you picture it as an outside force, as a malach, as a ruach hatumah, as whatever it is, it requires a chisorin in the person to be vulnerable to it. And if the person doesn't have this chisorin, he's just not vulnerable to it. So he says, "V'amim everyone the morach in Basel mispoitzki, but only Yitzhar beguufay. Vushar chacham Yitzhar de erve. Or chesiv asiroisis leiva ever mi psarchem nasatchem leiv basa kleima. Mitchilo Yitzhar shaylet bebasa. V'yitzhar de erve. Ki Yitzhar de erve bevariu bebasa. V'kach chesiv asiroisis leiva ever mi psarchem nasatchem leiv basa v'loy evet." She'evin hu kosher b'yoyse, hu keneged yitzahara shu dovuk b'choyme. She'ein ha'choyme poel klal, lekach yitzah de'erba kore evin doyim she'en le'afeichim. So the evin is something which is it's kulei mekabel. It's kulei something where the person is where the person just wants to get hana. The position of sitting back and receiving hana is a what's the word for it? It's a passive type of input. Abla barzel hefech shu poel shemena chere v'korav olkei mashkisin. Metal stone finds its difficulty in being impervious to attack. A stone fortress has big stone blocks without the ability to do anything to it. That's what stone is. So stone is sort of its strength lies in its passivity, its difficulty. Again, we're talking here about it as a negative factor. Its difficulty is because it just sits and lies there and it's not going anyplace. Barzel is the opposite. Shupoil menacher bekornel kli amashchisim. Vukineged yetzara benefesh. Sha nefesh ukoch poel kemoshedu minyan nefesh. Ulekach hayetzahara shebenefesh hu barzel shukoch poel ra. Now, the word nefesh as used by the Maral is something which is very, it relates, it's unique in a sense. It relates to the element in our personality that is the active emotional element, I would call it. Ambition, greed, jealousy, those types of kohos in a person are what he calls nefesh. The guf is kabbalah satanugus. What the guf wants is to lay back on a comfortable chair in some great spa and enjoy in imbib tanugus olam. That's the oifin of the guf. The nefesh wants to conquer, to destroy, to avenge, all of that. So even is nimoach, it needs to go away. There's no, you know, barzel splinters. So he says, lokach etzom shem hu barzel koach pol relokach om barzel mispoitzitz upirus ebor ma'oit. And then he says finally the last piece is the piece of imroav sanech achilei lechem b'mtzom yashkei umayim. So he says, "Uvkineged ze omim roav sanecha achilei lechem kleima im roav shu masis oischol taibes haguf ipnei shu chasa yeshcha lahach loisi lechem shol teira kleima sheyito yitzahara dova mazbiya shlei oit chasa ubechol dova nefshalim chasa chutz yitzahara nefshalim shalei yikasha odam shalim yitzahara yitzahara shubo vishul chisar shubo adam So he says like this. If we think about it, really, there's something very fascinating here in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the Bria. In terms of eating, a person who is hungry, the sense of hunger is a vacuum in the stomach. I feel my stomach is empty and I want to eat. That's the signal for achila. Achila takes up space in our stomach and that gives us our sense of satiation, and the empty stomach is something that gives us our sense of hunger. Within the realm of hungry, there's no difference between what will fill up our stomachs. Whether we're missing protein, carbohydrates, other stuff, fats, none of that is really distinguished in terms of sensation. I mean, we do have a tendency that if we're missing either this or that other thing, we want it. But the sensation of hunger is very much a sensation of a lack of bulk in the stomach. In terms of thirst, it's a very different type of feeling. It's not a feeling of emptiness. So there's a thirst that's, you know, just simply every part of my mouth is parched and dry and uncomfortable. But before that comes, it's a discomfort. The person is eating and doesn't have something to drink. We just feel uncomfortable. Hard to put exactly hard to put a finger on transient sensation. It's not as if we feel, you know, we have a separate stomach, our kidney is empty and needs a glass of water. It's a feeling of discomfort and annoyance until we actually drink whatever we drink. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, and it didn't have to be that way at all. And just like I said before, in food, we don't have any distinctions in what food we're missing. Well, whatever it is that we're missing, that's that. There's no distinction in the darga of food that we're missing. Ma she'in kein, in terms of if between food and drink, it's two very different sensations. In many ways, the type of drinking that appeals to another dimension of a person, other than the crass food, you have like the shtias yayin, which is not about filling your stomach. It's about giving a person a certain high, a certain, putting a person in a certain mood, and so on. Those are all the inyanim that are in simoyin, as opposed to re'ovay. So each one of them feeds a different element. Also, if we're to sort of graphically describe the difference between the guf and the nefesh, so the guf is something which is solid. Something which is chomri sits in one place. Its inertia is a central feature, and therefore achila fits that well. In nefesh, it's really it's fluid. It's something which has movement to it, and therefore shtia, which is actually movement, is something which that's its counterpart. We can even go a job further and about this. The it's very interesting. If we're to ask a riddle, what is absolutely necessary for something to be living? So everybody would say oxygen. And the answer is wrong, of course. There are organisms, anaerobic bacteria, that dread oxygen, and they live after on the ground and so on and so forth. They don't get anything from oxygen, and there's no echreach. We happen to breathe oxygen, that's nice, but there's no real reason why all organisms needed to breathe oxygen. If we need to describe what is absolutely necessary for life, the answer would be fluid, not even water, as much as fluid. You cannot have a living being that has no fluid in it. And the reason is simple, because since something living is a dynamic entity, it means there are ongoing processes. These are things that are constantly happening. So there has to be a medium wherein things can move on to another. The reason our blood system is a lot more vital than breathing in a certain sense just happens to be that our blood needs oxygen. But the blood's tafkid of taking material from place to place, making the changes of bringing in the food particles, take away the waste particles, and moving things over other, is the most vital component, really, of the body. So the koyach hachiyus lies in shtia, in fluid, rather than in achila, and so on. It's interesting also, a completely different area. It says there's a pasuk that let's see if I remember it correctly. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take away mashen lechem, I think, and mata mashen lechem mata mayim, or let's see if I can. It says in Yeshaya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take away koil mish an lechem v'choil mish an moyim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take away what we depend on in terms of bread, and what we depend on in terms of water. So Chazal darshnit that the Gemara says in Chagiga that mashen lechem is is Bali Mikra. And then Gemara says Mashin Lechem is Bali Talmud, and Mashin Mayim is Elu Bali Agoda. Shemoyishchen Leiv Odom Kamayim. So Ruta has a piece on it, and I've heard it rumored. This is one of those famous places where if Cook said it first, and he might have taken it. I think if Tzadik precedes them both, if I'm not mistaken. So they both took from the same place, but it makes no difference. Halacha, let's think about it a second. So Rav Huta's famous piece is that by Lechem, the story goes, it's presented with a story. Somebody asked Rav Huta how come his sheer, his halacha shiurim were open to the public, his agadah shiurim, we'll call them for better, for lack of a better word, were open only to, in the beginning, were only select Talmidim and Sanachabura and Pnimi. So he said, it says, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Hine Od Hashem Tzokis Mesim Yerushalayim Yehuda Mashein Mashein Kol Mashein Lechem Mashein Mayim. And Chazal Darshan Mashein Lechem is Balei Talmud, this is Balei Agadah. He says, by bread you find that there's a standard shear that satisfies everyone. The Gemara says a koisevis is miyas v'daite. So Gemara says, what about old mel chabashim? It says, yeah, everyone feels a certain yishuv hadas when he eats the bread. Water is moly lugmov, and moly lugmov is measured individually. Moly lugmov, each person is separate. So he said, so you see that we can possibly. We can give a halacha shir that will fit everybody to some degree, and that's why I'm comfortable. Whoever comes, you know, whatever they pick up is fine. He says, Agarata, since it has to shtel suit to each person, that is something that is I need to make sure that the people there, it fits their molly look. That was this expression, but it's based on the same point. But let's understand it with an eye to what we're looking at. If a person is hungry and he drinks a lot, it's not a pleasant feeling. It's sort of a queasy feeling because he's looking for solidity and you're pouring instead a coffee down or water or whatever it is. And that's when a person is going with Mashein Lechem. So the person is... the person is wants to fill up with solid things. A person, the type of religious type of theological discussions and things of that nature, those are all, you know, they're nice, they're enjoyable, but they leave you feeling that you don't have anything really solid. Halacha gives you a sense, this is the din, this is what we have to do, this is, you know, it has in itself a certain bulk and solidity. This is a shohar, this is my life, these are the pu'ulos I can do that are good, whereas the pu'ulos I do that are not good. But on the other hand, they're not moishchen liba shel adam. They don't change a person. No one became, or at least let's put it this way, very few people that I know became frum through a learning Mishnah Berurah. I actually know one person who was very into it, and this person was a very, very... His whole mohus was a structured yaki of sorts. And that's why Mishnah Berurah spoke to him more than anything else. But for the vast majority of people, the Mishnah Berurah is not where you go if you want to be inspired. Agadata changes you. It's moishchin, liva adam, like mayim, because it arouses the part of the person, the nefesh of the person, that's possible for him to move. That's possible for him to be in flux. A person has a certain inertia where he's at. If you want to move him, you have to hit that b'chinas nefesh, let's call it, whatever it is. So al kopanim, the nefesh ha'adam is aroused by this, this is what affects it, and this is what makes the person it's moishel the person to change him. So the Yetzirah, going back to Yetzirah over here, im rov sernacha sachle lechem, and if tzame hashkeir mayim, the way he understands it is, the Yetzirah sits not as an outsider, but rather, you have in yourself ra'av and sima'on. Those are the two holes in a person's personality, because it's like a car. No matter how fantastic the car is, the car needs gas or the equivalent of it. There is nothing that's perfect within itself that doesn't need to have some sort of input. So we're not going to be able to fix it by just resisting the outside, because there's a flaw. We have a flaw in us that is the mitzad the chaimus that he says, and we have a flaw in us mitzad the nefesh. And the way to do it is, if the enemy is coming at us because he's hungry or because he's thirsty, if you give him what to eat or what to drink, he'll stop attacking you. The Yetzirah has an achiz in a person because the person is hungry or thirsty. So what we can do is we can either ward off the Yetzirah, which is a losing battle, a defense battle. But if you get rid of the hunger and the thirst, he has no place to be. It's like mosquitoes. Fighting mosquitoes is a losing battle, but if you drain the water that they come to breed in, then they'll disappear. They're only there because there's something amiss with whatever it is that you have, and that way you fix it. So it's always, when you give a person Torah, you're giving him, you're plugging up the holes. The person loses his ra'av, or he realizes it in the lechem of Torah. So the same restless teenager, for instance, if he's put into an environment where there's a lot of tumult going on in the learning, and there's yelling, there's screaming, and there's arguing, and there's I'm right and you're right and he right and that gives him, that fills in his needs, and the melee sort of is where to come. It's so important to understand in the big picture, moving away from what he says, that when you try to analyze how to get rid of the Yetzirah, you need to ask yourself, what's he feeding off? What are the areas in the person that he's feeding off? And if you're able to get that away, if you're able to fulfill those needs and, you know, fill in those holes with something else, then basically you've kind of won the battle. Because without a mokum achiza, he's not going to get anywhere. Okay, any questions? Good. So next week is...
Just in terms of breathing, could you say that there's three different dargas, that the oichel is the lowest darga, that's a guf, and the shtia is kenegah the nefesh? Could you suggest that breathing is kenegah the neshama?
One would very much want to say that, because neshima and neshama are obviously the same word. Halachically, breathing is kol neshama talka. It definitely would make sense in the progression, and this is even a finer sense in the fact that we are almost unaware of it. We're unaware of breathing. That makes it something that would be a very refined ruchnistic entity. So yes, I hear the tushkel, and it makes sense. I just think that the pshat is there's no yetzahara associated with breathing. I'm not aware. I mean, maybe inhaling certain stuff might count as yetzahara with the breathing. It may be getting the high on marijuana would be a zelo maser. I don't know. That's kind of out of the realm but certainly I think breathing speaks of something much higher. And the mela, it's harder to put a finger. I don't know if there's any ra, so to speak, that's shaylin on it. The nefesh has ra, nefesh kisechta. The guf certainly is ra. The neshama is the part. The neshama says not be tahorihi. So, in the language that's used by other sfarim, there's a bit of a shift. What he calls nefesh, which means the basic biological drives and desires, probably are called. What he calls guf is called probably nefesh. What he calls nefesh, which means the person's ambitions and emotional drives, are probably called ruach. And ruach is something which is in constant flux in the language of that. And neshama is neshama. What he calls seichel, the maral in many places, would probably correspond to what we call neshama. But again, the main thing is the organization of it, rather than just the terminology used.
And could that like kind of support the idea that the Eastern religions, that they focus so heavily on breathing and meditation, it's also that they're kind of trying to misalek from the guf and from the nefesh?
Very, very possible. It's very possible the fact that you have these various, I don't know what to call them, focusing on that, maybe that says something about it. I don't know. That it's interesting. Interesting thought. Okay, good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Take goodbye, Colton.